today on Real Radio.
Everybody loves in the world, everybody loves some famous singer or some great actor. Everybody loves them as long as they're in their camp. But the moment that famous person has a changed life, they will cannibalize them, will they not? They will turn on them in an instant. Hollywood loves its own until one of its own gets saved.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. In Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. So when we think about our lives as Christians, Peter is challenging us to be on guard. In other words, we're not to be surprised when we are attacked for our faith or rejected for sharing the good news of the gospel. To follow Jesus Christ is to be hated in this world. But Peter tells us that if we suffer for the Lord's sake, we are blessed. We're not to fear those who can kill the body, but can't kill the soul. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that people may not believe the Bible or in Jesus, but they cannot deny the life of a Christ follower. A life that's been changed by the Lord is an awesome testimony of God's love in the midst of a sinful and dying world. And now in his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And Peter is addressing his audience and he's saying, listen to this. You who are running from the Roman Empire and from Nero himself, nobody can harm you. Because you are born again, you are led now by the Spirit of God, your citizenship is in heaven, and the fact of the matter is, your faith must be attacked because it is not of this world. If you and I worshiped Zeus, I'm taking ourselves back to 2,000 years ago. If you and I worshiped Zeus, everybody would love us. If you and I worshiped Diana, everybody would love us. But because we come along and we say, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, no. You mean Caesar's Lord. No, 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 no. I mean Jesus is Lord. What? Oh, and listen, you don't have to worry about death and about sin because this Jesus I'm talking to you about rose from the dead. He broke the grave. And if you trust him, he'll see to it that you make it into heaven as well. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have to make sacrifices to all these various gods. You don't have to sacrifice your children or to sacrifice your oxen or to do this stuff. No, he's the sacrifice. And if you look to him instead of it, he'll save you. He'll take away your sin. He'll take away your guilt. He'll relieve from you internally. Only those who know this can give witness and testimony to it. Those who do not know, do not know. But he lifts guilt from you and he sets you free. Your conscience is cleared. Amen. And you pick. One is of this world, the other is not. And we are not of this world. A changed life is the number one reason why the world will attack your faith. To them, Jesus is a name. To them, the Bible is an old book. But when you say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and this, listen, the world hates testimony, your testimony. When you say to the world, I used to be a arrogant, proud, whatever, or I used to be a murderer, or I used to be blah, blah, blah. Listen, the moment you say, but Jesus changed me, what happens? People get furious. Look, the holidays are coming up. You're going to go have holiday with your family members who are not Christians, and they will hate you for you being there. Oh, here he comes again. There they are, that family. I tell you, I can't believe we even are related to them. They believe in God. Now watch, he's going to try to pray over the meal. Why doesn't he just keep his religion to himself? Have you noticed everybody gets to keep their, or everybody gets to transmit their atheism everywhere else? But you're supposed to keep your faith to yourself. Why? Because you're not of this world. They don't know it, but they know it. Your changed life is the biggest reason the world has to attack Christ, because they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe Jesus, but they can't deny your life. So you are beyond an enigma to them. You're an outright pain in the neck to them every time they see you. Isn't that awesome? That's gonna generate a response. Everybody loves in the world, everybody loves some famous singer or some great actor. Everybody loves them as long as they're in their camp. But the moment that famous person has a changed life, they will cannibalize them, will they not? They will turn on them in an instant. Hollywood loves its own until one of its own gets saved. I don't know if this is still true, but rather recently, I was reading Justin Bieber was making some pretty serious statements about Jesus. And he even rebuked, I won't mention the pastor's name, famous world-renowned pastor, went out with Justin Bieber, and the pastor ordered a bourbon and was drinking liquor. And Justin Bieber, of all people, later made a comment. It's online. You can read it. He said, "This isn't right that a spiritual leader should be intoxicated. I'll have nothing to do with that." Wow. Now, I don't know where Justin Bieber really is. I don't know anything about him. But what if he's a believer? If he is, the music world's going to eat him up. Or have you looked to see what's happened to Denzel Washington, who's become a very outspoken believer for Jesus Christ? And boy, have they nailed him. I don't think he needs to work anymore, but he probably won't get a job anymore. Why? Jesus, you want to get in a fight? Mention the name Jesus in a loving way. You want to be hated? Praise the Lord. No, I mean, praise the Lord and you'll be hated. It's rather remarkable. It's amazing. A changed life. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, when Jesus makes mention of this, he says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body." And here we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of what Peter means. Jesus says, don't fear those who can kill your body. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my pillow. What are you talking about, Jesus? He says, but cannot kill the soul. So do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him. Notice capital H in your Bible. It's God. Fear God. Be in awe of God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, you and I want these comforts, but the fact of the matter is the Bible says we're going to be attacked. And Peter says, nobody can harm you. You see, if your life is spiritually rooted, if somebody skins you alive, you know, that was a big fad during the dark ages of skinning Christians alive. Or now in modern days, if you're a Christian, beheaded. Let's cut their heads off. You know, the Bible says you don't need to worry about that because you are going to live forever. Your body can only go so far. Listen, you can only live so long in this physical world. And as time goes on, we have reminders. Remember when we were young? Remember we were young, we'd jump off of roofs. I used to do that. Do you remember, did you do this or was I nuts? We would put sheets over our head. Did you do this? Poor kids today, they just go like this. They don't know what we're talking about. We used to take sheets and hold them over our head and run off the roof. And just when the sheet began to open is when we hit the ground. Remember that? It was awesome. Try it now. Do you remember? Listen, when we moved to Orange County, we had a fence around our house. And I remember hurdling the fence home from school. Try it now. I'll be in the hospital. What's happening? Listen, I'm getting closer to death. My body will wear out. Here's the challenge. Peter is saying, don't trust in your body that's going to wear out. Stop focusing on all these creature comforts because it's not going to last. Don't pad your world and focus on that as your easiness. And when somebody comes and attacks you for being a Christian, cheer up, because all this is going to fade away. The reality is nobody can really hurt you at all because your physical world is not who you are. You're not defined by what you own. As our state is burning as I speak, People are waking up to the reality, or all week long have been reminded, you are not this mansion or this little one-room house that you own. You're not that. Do you see the... Now, maybe I've been stewing in this for a long time and I'm marinated in it, but I want you to think about this. The brilliance and the genius of God. All of a sudden, reality strikes, and the rich man and the poor man, the black man, the white man, the powerful man, the insignificant man, they're all the same now. Do you understand that? Everyone's the same. And the question is, after the fire, after the earthquake, after the storm, what do you have? That's the question. What do you have? Will it endure? Is it forever? To this, Peter is making his appeal. Makes you think. Everything that you and I have been blessed with, we should just thank God for it, but don't keep our eyes on it. You know what I mean? Don't keep our eyes on it. Jesus says, no, you don't need to worry about those who are going to attack your body. In John chapter 3, verse 18, John 3:18 tells us, he who believes in him, that is Christ, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. The word means sentenced to death. If you're not a follower of Jesus based upon 1 Peter 3:13, listen. This is going to get people upset. This is going to get me attacked, if you think about it. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible here uses the Greek word, Jesus is the one speaking. It means that you have already been sentenced to death. And he's not talking about physical death. Do you understand that? He's talking about spiritual death in hell. You say, I don't like that. Of course you don't. I didn't like it when I heard it about me first either. But the fact of the matter is, the entire human race is condemned. That's why Jesus came. Is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The word means no way out. There's no way out of this. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let's be honest. Doing evil is appealing. It just depends on how you want to define your evil. For some, people like robbing banks. I guess they get a thrill. To some, it might be sexual activity. It doesn't matter what it is. Until Jesus invades your life, you love those things. Make no mistake about it. But when he invades your life, he takes possession of you. It changes everything. It says, because men will be lovers of darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil, plans, plots, puts it on their calendar, gets ready to do it, hates the light. And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. In a word, Jesus is talking about a never Christ mob. Never Christ. I just made that up, by the way. You know, there's the never Trump. Well, I'm going to say never Christ. Is there not a spirit out there of the never Christ? Of course it is. 1 John says it's the spirit of Antichrist. Bring it up. If it's about Jesus, put it down. Right? Think of it. If it's about Jesus, put it down. Stop it. I was going to save this for a little later, but it's getting too late. And so there's a spirit out there. And you say, well, Jack, you need to encourage me today. I need encouragement. This is encouragement. Don't be surprised when the world attacks you. That's encouragement. You say, well, I don't like that. Then here's my pillow. You can hug it. You can hold it. You can talk to it if you'd like. It doesn't change the reality that what is happening right now is merciful, kind, and gracious of God to have written down in the Bible in advance so that you're not surprised. I want you to be on your mark. I want you to get set. And I want you to be ready. So, in a never Christ world, in an ever increasing anti-Christ nation, listen to this.
Well, a school sparking outrage for calling the sheriff's office on a 7-year-old for handing out, get this, Bible verses to classmates. A teacher at the elementary school in Southern California banning the Bible notes like these during lunch, saying there should be a separation of church and state. A sheriff's deputy even showed up at the boy's house and told him and his mom to stop because someone might get offended.
Isn't that funny? Did you hear that carefully? It said that the teacher said She calls the cops on a 7-year-old boy for handing out Bible verses of encouragement to his friends. And she said, did you hear it? She said, and I quote, "There should be a separation between church and state." Very good. There ain't one. But she says there should be. Yeah. So she violates that little guy. Does a 7-year-old have First Amendment rights?
Yes.
According to our Constitution, he does. What's the problem? The kid's handing out Bible verses. Well, what are they actually saying? What Bible verses is he handing out? Is it a verse like, "You're all gonna fry in hell, so goodbye, see you later"? That's probably not a good idea, and I might agree with the teacher a little bit. Even that's, though, a free First Amendment right. You just have to be responsible. I'm not promoting that. But the kid's handing out verses of encouragement. Oh, we can't have that. That is a never Christ spirit. That is an antichrist spirit. And yet, listen, go ahead and get upset at this. I welcome you to prove me wrong. California, where this story took place, bends over backwards to introduce, to have in the classroom, Quranic verses, the Quran, and Islamic teaching in California public schools.
Yes.
Figure that one out. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you now, figure it out. The Quran is being promoted in California schools, and a 7-year-old shares a verse of encouragement from the Bible to a kid, and they call the cops. What's happened? Nothing that should surprise us. Jesus said there'd be days like this, and that encourages us. It's true. The second thing that we see here is when you and I are rejected for his name. It says in verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake," this is doing the right thing, you know, "you're blessed." And so the value of the things of heaven are not appreciated. And Jesus represents, of course, and as is, in fact, his dwelling is heaven. But to follow Christ, as we've been teaching, is to be hated. And again, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, "Do not think that I came," now listen, everybody, "do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth." Stop right there. Everyone look. How about now? There it is. Excuse me, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Bible. This may shock you tremendously. Jesus said, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on earth." See, wait a minute, isn't he the Prince of Peace? Yeah, he is, but that's not happened yet. He's coming back to do that. But didn't the angels sing at Christmas, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men"? They did. But Jesus' message is the gospel. And the scripture says regarding the gospel that anyone who believes on that gospel shall be saved. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world," but the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Did you know that? Listen, Jesus says, "Don't think I've come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come," and he explains it. He's not saying go buy a sword. He's going to explain it. Verse 35, "For I have come to set a man against his father." How in the world does that happen? And why would he do this? Well, let's just keep reading. "A daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Some have argued that's not new. That's nothing. "And a man's enemies will be those of his own household," family. Why? Because everything is, so to speak, status quo until someone believes in Jesus Christ and proclaims his name. And then there's a rejection. Have you been rejected as a believer? Because have you been ostracized from your family? Listen, I was told by a man some years ago, he said, "Listen, you'll never know if a Jew who's been born again or a Muslim who's been born again are really born again in the Middle East or anywhere else in the world unless," and I said, "Unless what?" He said, "Unless," you can't know for sure, "unless they're persecuted." And the persecution in the Islamic or in Judaism, when either one becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, the proof of their conversion is that they have suffered for Christ's sake. Then the family of God accepts the person who professed Christ. Are you with me? See, we're like this in America. It's like, "Oh, do you believe in God?" "I do." "Oh, that's so awesome." What do you mean? What are they talking about? God who? Who do they believe in? Are you a believer in Jesus? Yep. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't know that. You want to pray the prayer? Oh, yeah, sure. I got a Costco card. I belong to AAA. Sure, I'll pray the prayer. Why not? You don't know if any of this is true unless there's persecution. Just think of it. How do you know if you're a real believer? You won't know unless you're persecuted for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake. This is serious business. It's the work of heaven. And so Jesus says, there'll be those in your own family who become your enemies because they won't accept Jesus. And so you'll have a rift. I was talking to a man yesterday, literally, who knows someone. Listen, the husband became a Christian and the wife divorced him. You're, what? What is this? Now, there may have been all kinds of things behind that. We don't know. But the excuse given was, you're a Christian now? Oh, I'll have nothing to do with that. Wow. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust, can I add fires, destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust, fires, destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. And so we need not be surprised, church. The stress today is this. Christian, do not be surprised when this world turns against us. Do you maybe sense in our own America that the tide could change against you personally as a believer? You say, oh, I don't think so. Well, let me tell you, my heart breaks for public school teachers who are Christians. They're being so attacked. They're being so marginalized and threatened. Persecution has begun. Now, we may call it white-collar persecution in the sense that it's dressed nice. It hasn't manifest yet to the point of blood. But there is, in a sense, a persecution that has begun. And so I want you to know that Peter's words to us are words that should encourage us. You be on your mark, and you be set, and you always be ready.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our hope is that you keep the faith no matter what you're facing. God has already gone ahead of you, so just follow where He leads. On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart, and his devotion to Jesus is woven throughout the pages of his letters. Peter not only lived his life with joy, but also with great anticipation of his Lord's return. Peter's heartfelt testimony inspired generations of people to follow Jesus Christ. And if you're perhaps wondering what that all means, we'd love to help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on the tab there that's labeled Know God, spelled out that's K-N-O-W, God, and once you're there, you'll discover the truth of what it really means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are not here by accident, that's the truth, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. Again, you'll find the answers you're looking for when you click on that tab labeled Know God at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.